Luke chapter 18. There you are, sir. Luke chapter 18. Probably depends on what section I'm in, but definitely one of my favorites for sure. This morning, as we look at Luke 18, we're going to be in the passage of the fact that the Lord Jesus wants the children to come to Him. I want you to take note as we read these scriptures who it is that's trying to keep the children away from Him and what his want of children. And you wonder why at times. Why? Why would the Lord Jesus, who is so important, why would He want the children around Him? This morning, just a simple thought, little children need the Lord Jesus. Just plain and simple. Just as an adult needs the Lord Jesus, so do children. There are children out there that are living in lives and homes where they don't even know if they'll get a warm meal today or clean sheets to sleep in or a warm bed to sleep in. I think one of the shocking things in working in the juvenile facilities for the many years we did were all those young people that said they didn't even know if they were going to get a meal or not when they were home. So they'd stay in the system, so they got three hots and a cot. Got some clothing to wear, a place to sleep, and food to eat. Until they turn the age of 18 and then they're let out on their own. I've mentioned to you many times, I wonder where there's a couple young men at. I can see one young man's face in my memory bank. And I wonder where he's at. Wonder where Joey's at. Wonder where some of these other men are at. Steve, that I met there in Mississippi at the Homes of Grace. He's going through it and... Yeah, I just wonder, God, where are they at? I pray they found something in You. As we read here in Luke chapter 18, look with me at verse number 15, if you would, please. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 15. And they brought unto Him also infants. Isn't that amazing? As we know, there are classifications of children. You have infants, toddlers, juniors, junior high or adolescent, high schoolers. Now, I forgot one group. There are infants, toddlers, and then there's Ray Mills, then there's juniors, and then there's junior highs. You know, beloved, they brought infants to Him. They brought kids to Him. We're going to get into it here in a few minutes, but the disciples, here, let's just read it. It is amazing to me. Verse number 15 again. And they brought unto Him also infants, that He would touch them. But when His disciples saw it, they rebuked them. And Jesus called them unto Him and said, suffer little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. That word suffering is an old English usage of that word, meaning to allow them permission. Of course, to keep them away from the Lord Jesus would cause them suffering and pain. So suffer the little children to come into Me. Allow that to happen. They're not a problem and a pain. You are. It is amazing to me, adult. You are the problem. The adults are the ones that's trying to keep the kids away from the Lord Jesus. That's the most foolish thing. In the Matthew passage, the Lord Jesus says, unless you come to Him as a child, you cannot get into the kingdom of God. Amen. To come in as a child that realizes, hey, I've done wrong. I need You, Lord Jesus. Save my soul. That's the only way anybody gets saved. But the adult would say, well, you need to be baptized in water, you need to be sprinkled on, you need to be poured on, you need to do hula hoops, and you need to do flips down the aisle, you got to speak in tongues, you got to do this, you got to do that. That's what an adult does, because an adult is an idiot when it comes to the things of God. Whereas a child, Lord Jesus says, believe on Me. You know what a child will do? Believe on Him. Now, I realize there are some children that are just bent on trouble. I understand that. But I have noticed that those children that are been on trouble, there's always one or two in their life that they'll listen to. There are times that our son will have trouble with Matthias. I get with him. I don't have no trouble with him. Sometimes personalities will conflict and cause a little bit of trouble, but Matthias knows if he doesn't behave around me, I'll smack him in the back of the head. And whether you like it or not, I don't care. I'm not going to be abusive. I know what abuse. Look, I've been there myself personally. I know what abusive is all about. I know where the line's at. And yes, I will go up to the line. But I guarantee I won't leave broken bones or having to go to emergency rooms like the other abusers do. But you know, God made a padded spot on that bottom for a reason. And you ought to apply the board of knowledge to the seat of understanding if you're going to get that out of that child, get the devil out of that child. That's just plain and simple. But they weren't going to allow the kids to come to him. Look with me, if you would, please, at verse number 16 once again. But Jesus called unto him and said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God." Adults, when it comes to the things of God, you need to stop being an adult. Be one of God's kids. On Wednesday morning, we're going to be headed home. My mother-in-law needs some help on a roof, and Chris and I'm not going to get on the roof. Chris is. So don't go after church giving me what for, because I'm liable to not get in the mouth. My back's bothering me, and I just don't want to put up with no nonsense this morning. If you know more than I am, then praise the Lord. I'm glad you know more than I do this morning. I'm not there this morning. But we're going to go home. Because we can't get family members to go down there and look at Connie's roof and the water in the bowl of the electrical. And babe, it's going to take you and Jesus Christ to keep me from coming unglued on everybody. Mama Connie needs help, and the people living. All right, Wednesday we're going to go home. I'm going to get to hug Mama Connie. And hopefully that day or the next day, I'm going to go down and let my mama smack me on the bottom. I look forward to it. I do. Because that means my mama's in the room with me. You make it right, Sister Dawn? When mama's not with you no more, and you'd appreciate her when she is around. But we don't go to God as a child as much as we should. That's why he talks about sitting beside him and maybe even sitting on his lap and spending some time with him instead of running in and out. Figuring out God's a light switch, and you turn the light on when you need him and you turn it off when you don't. That's not a very good relationship. Well, in the Matthew passage, he mentions this, but one other verse. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." You want the kids to go to the Lord Jesus. In this passage, let's read on to verse number 17. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." There are so many people that have figured it out, and they think that salvation is this, salvation is that. There's a process to salvation. 10 things you need to do in order to be saved. Blah, 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 blah. And when the Bible tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know what a child learns? The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll save your soul. Come to me." You know what a child does? Okay. Instead of trying to figure out, "Well, I just don't even know if Jesus was really God. You know, I just don't even know if Jesus really existed." I can't believe those morons that want to say that there is no evidence that Jesus Christ was on earth. You're an idiot if you think that. If you've studied that or even tried to be such a knowledgeable person And you've taken all that philosophy and knowledge and determined that the Lord Jesus Christ never existed. Beloved, that is such a fool times a million. There's more evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth than you. You realize that? With that in mind, as we look at this passage of Scripture, little children need the Lord. Well, what better time to get them under the gospel? What better time to get them under preaching? What better time to get them to memorizing? Hey, if you're an adult right now, you know it's a struggle to memorize. So you should have memorized when you was kids. I think about all the passages of Scripture. My brother and I were in a Christian school for 3 years, a Paris Bible Church, and all the scripture they forced us to memorize. But when I look back on it, all that scripture comes to mind when I need it. Isaiah 55. Oh, my word, what a passage. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 through 13. Learning Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 23. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 33. I mean, over and over again, all those different passages. Much of the Psalms, Psalms 91, Psalms 90, Psalm 23, Psalm 40, all those different Psalms that we would memorize. Genesis chapter 1. Boy, I tell you right now, when I was a kid, it was a whole lot easier to memorize those. That's why I keep little cards around with me to remember those verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I just can't. All those passages, we probably memorized, oh my word. And then Pastor Charlie challenged the church to memorize the whole book of James. Yeah, how about that? And then all the other passages. How many of y'all are memorizing Scripture? All right, shame on you if you're not. Okay? Hey, by the way, that keeps your brain working. And as you get older, you want to keep your brain working or it will stop. And when it stops, you become a Wolverine fan. So be cautious. Little children need the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus wanted the infants. He wanted the toddlers. He wanted the juniors to come to Him. Notice that the Lord Jesus, and this is something very important. Notice that the Lord Jesus never baptized those children in order to wash away their original sin, like false religions do. What did He do? He basically told them, verse number 16, but Jesus called them unto Him and said, suffer little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Let them come on. Let them come on. Did He baptize any of them? Did He sprinkle on any of them? Did He pour on them? No. We have the baptism of the Lord Jesus in the first part of the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Do we not? Yeah, and who's being baptized? The Lord Jesus. Who's being baptized? The Lord Jesus. By immersion. Not little children. There is no Bible for infant baptism. None. In this passage of Scripture, the adults didn't want the children to go to Him or to bother Him. No, you leave the Lord alone. He's done. His disciples, if anything, well, I tell you, they were just some knuckleheads. But if you're not careful, you are too. The neighbor you don't like, did you know they need the Lord Jesus? You know that child screaming in the restaurant needs the Lord Jesus? That adult over there that you don't like because they did you wrong 20 years ago, they need the Lord Jesus. So the adults didn't even want Him. You know, we have that world today, do we not? We have it in our school system. It used to be that our school teachers kept a Bible on their desk. It used to be that the school system welcomed the Word of God in it. Now it does not. Our school system has become a synagogue of Satan, a temple to Lucifer. And those teachers have become nothing but priests and priestesses of Satan himself. Well, no, we haven't. And the many of them are so naive, they don't realize it. Especially those that are trying to tell us that God made male, female, and it, and that, and all these other things. That's so foolish. The adults had formed the opinion,
Now listen, they had formed the opinion that these infants, toddlers, and juniors were not important enough to go to the Lord Jesus. They had formed an opinion that would be detrimental to that child's life. Sound familiar? Luke chapter 17. He influenced the child in such a way that they might as well have a millstone tied around your neck. If you want to keep a child from God, you might as well have a millstone tied around your neck. You want to teach them how to cuss, fuss, and all them other things, you need to have a millstone tied around your neck. They had formed an opinion that the Lord Jesus wasn't even remotely interested in children. At some point in life, these adults had learned that they did not need the Lord. Do you understand that? And all those that were in their life were not showing that this is the important thing. That's why those young people, young adults that are not in the church house, not in the Word of God, and they know better, they're under an accountability that's out of this world. You know the Bible, you're accountable for what you know. I pray for my sons and my daughter. Foolish. Just downright foolish and mean and hateful. And they know better. Don't just think of my youngins, yours too. Where are they at this morning? I don't see everybody's kids in here in the church house. Our kids need the Lord Jesus. And then we want to, well, their child is this and that, and their child is this and that. Well, you might want to be careful where you throw rocks if you live in a glass house. I often wonder, where did I go wrong? By the way, adults, you don't have to go wrong for kids not want God. But at some point, adults seem to think, or at some point at 13, or some point at 15, I don't need the Lord. And that's on them. But if you're not careful, adult, you'll help them get there. To that dear mom that's lived right and shown them right, you hang in there. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. I know there's hope because the Lord Jesus is alive. I know there's hope because the Lord Jesus left the tomb empty. I know there's hope because he told me, David, train up a child in the way he should go, and he'll not depart. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. At some point in life, these adults began to exercise and use their free will. You know what your flesh will say? You don't need to be in the house of God. Don't read your Bible. You've done read it yesterday. Pastor read it to you last night. That's good enough. Yesterday you were under the preaching of the Word. That's good enough. You don't need any more today. I remember Dr. Tabb used to get on us all the time. He'd say, I know, Baptist, you studied your Bible for an hour. That's all you need for a week. I know y'all been at church house now for a couple of hours. I probably won't see you through the rest of the week because you had enough. Well, his point was we never get enough. We never get enough. At some point, these adults, they start exercising and using their free will. And I'm going to tell you, you start following your flesh, you won't be in the house of God. You won't be under the preaching of the Word of God. You won't be in the Word of God. You won't be praying. You'll be doing everything else but what God's called you to do. I know, been there. And what a fool. What a fool I was that my daughter was a year and 2 years old and there I was not in the house of God. Doing the things that shouldn't be doing. Coming home to a note that says, sober up or I'm leaving you. And then the next month, God took a baby from us because I wasn't doing right. Now you tell me if it's healthy to follow after your own will. Don't sit there, and I've had so many people do it. And if you're watching, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Even the disciples stepped in to stop these children from getting close to the Lord Jesus and to the Savior. Even the disciples. Man, I don't know about you, y'all, but I'd like to be asking Brother Peter and Brother John and saying, hey, fellas, if you need him, don't you reckon they need him? No. Well, see, you have to understand, in that society,
Children was to keep their mouths shut. You don't speak unless spoken to. And women, oh, y'all, there's not a woman in here that loved to live in that culture. And even the disciples stepped in and stopped the kids from getting there. What were they thinking? Keeping anyone from the Lord Jesus? Anybody? What were they thinking? In the school system, I remember many years ago, we had a student here that was in the DeWitt school system. And the teacher asked the question, why was Jesus killed? And he raised his hand. He died for our sins. That's what the scriptures teach us. Teacher said, nope, that's not true. The Jews were just jealous of him and they're envious of him. That's why they killed him. So a teacher right here at Sheridan Road, just less than a half mile away, is all of a sudden an authority on all things religion. Their religion, yes. That family's not here no more. Because of that. Of course, there's other things. They don't need the Lord Jesus anymore. If you knew the family, they already got enough help and got on their feet. They didn't need God no more. And that's usually what happens. But even these disciples were keeping it from. What were they thinking, keeping anyone from the Lord Jesus? Now let me say this to you. You and I's lives can keep people from the Lord Jesus. Do people want what you got? That's something to think about. Do people want what you got? Beloved, the one that kept children from God, they were warned. Hold your place there and come to Luke 17 with me. The individual that kept children from God, watch this. Verse Luke 17, verse number 2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Somebody has said, as you come back to Luke chapter 18, well, that's pedophilia and that's this and that. No, friend. That's sitting them in front of a TV on a Sunday morning and not taking them to the church house. That's going fishing with them on Sunday instead of taking them to the church house. That's so many ways and whatnots to keep them from being in the Word. Pastor Charlie, I'm so thankful. I tell you, I've been blessed. David, what you studying? All right, David, what you praying? All right. So that passage of Scripture. How about it? Give me another passage of Scripture. I think I've told you. It's probably about July or June, July, August of 1981. And I remember going to Pastor Charlie saying, Pastor Charlie, how do you know if you've been called to preach? And I remember him telling me, he says, well, David, I want you to go home and ask the Lord for a verse to show you God's that he's calling you to preach. I want you to start in the New Testament. So for about 2 weeks, I got through the New Testament. Lord, give me a verse. There in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and mercy. I knew that God had called me to preach. So I remember going to Pastor Charlie, and so this is about a 3 weeks later on, and he says, all right, now I want you to go to the Old Testament. And God gave me a passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 6. Who shall go for us? Whom shall we send? And Isaiah said, Lord, send me. I go, hallelujah. Then I remember going back to him and he said, David, and this is so September, so this is going on and on and on. He's all right, I want you to go back to the New Testament and ask God for another verse. All right. I know he told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whichever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28. Lord, Pastor Charlie, I mean, he's told the church and he's told the believers. He's told everybody to take the gospel. I believe he's called me to preach. All right, David. I want you to go and study the Old Testament again for the next month and ask the Lord for another verse. Pastor Charlie, I know he's called me to preach. He told me later on, he said, generally when somebody's starting to ask if they've been called to preach or not, generally they've been called to preach. Over about a 4 to 6 month period of time, the Lord had worked that into my heart. I just wished I could be perfect. I wished I could be a perfect husband. I wished I could be a perfect pastor. But you all get a flawed, broken vessel. And believe me, this morning I feel broken more than I've ever felt in my life. But I want you to know I'm blessed. Because they didn't keep me from Him. They told me that the Lord Jesus was all that I needed. And beloved, that's where it's at. Your struggles in your life is you're just too hard-headed, too stubborn, too foolish to stay in the Word of God. To stay in prayer. To be in the house of God every time the doors are open. I realize there are health issues and of a nighttime having struggles seeing. I understand those things. But oh, beloved, how many times have we allowed a hangnail, a runny nose, or a little bit of pain in your left big toe keep you out of the house of God? I mean, even the disciples were doing that. But you're warned if you're keeping children from it. Here in Luke 17, as you make your way back to Luke 18, in verse number 15 in Luke 17, it were better if a millstone were tied around your neck. At that moment, can I say to you that the disciples have been better off to have a millstone tied around their neck? Because they're trying to keep the kids from the Savior. Instead of taking them to the Savior, they're keeping them away from the Savior. That ain't a very good place to be. So I say this to you this morning. These children were teachable. Y'all ever been around kids? Even special needs kids, whether they have retardation or whether they have any kind of autism or whether they have any deaf or blind, I've never met a kid yet that's not willing to learn something. I tell you, that's why it's very important that we not teach them the wrong things. Hey, listen, I remember them old timers teaching me how to roll a cigarette. I remember them teaching me how to cut the butt end of a cigar off and then how to light one. I remember them teaching me how to clean out a pipe. Well, those things are not helpful in my world. I remember watching them make shine or watching them make wine or watching them make beer. Did any of that work? Absolutely not. But there's a whole lot of human beings on earth that seem to think that buying alcohol for their underage kids are having their boyfriends and girlfriends over and having nothing but a horrific, immoral orgy with them. And that's what life should be? Muhammad took a 6-7-year-old little girl and married her, but waited until she was of age before he had any kind of relations with her. What a wicked man. If a wife doesn't behave, they behead her. Ladies, how about that for society? It wouldn't work. Because whether you're male or female, you and I are bent on rebellious. I'm so glad Jamie hasn't had me beheaded yet. Shut up. You know what breaks my heart? Is all these people that think they're doing their child right and they're keeping them out of the house of God. They're not praying with them. Matthias and I went Thursday over to Maple Hill. And he's got his last day or two off for school. Titus and Tommy and Thaddeus said that he hates school. I love that to death. They all started school, so I had Matthias for a couple days, and it was Friday. And I'm sure he's had a Frosty before. Matthias swore up and down he's never been to Wendy's or had a Frosty. Now, you know, listen, you don't have to fake it for me to take you there. Okay, I'll take you. You don't have to say, I think this is my first time. You know, put your hand down. So anyway, we're sitting there, and I got to order him a Frosty. Some fries. Anybody have Wendy's fries and a Frosty? Those are, you put the fries in there and the Frosty. Amen. You don't know what's good for you, so be quiet. Just hush up down there. Anyhow. We did do that for Kevin, didn't we?
All right, be quiet. Put your hand down.
That's right. I think it was his first one, wasn't it? Had to be. Boy, Ray, what are you doing with your family? All right.
So here I am with Matthias. And he had his hat on. I had my hat on. And I took my hat off. All right, Matthias, we need to pray.
Papa, can I pray? Yeah, why don't you go ahead and pray, buddy? So he blessed the food and this and that. Over across the way, there's this fella. He's got his cross hanging out. Because, see, he has to show his Christianity.
And he come over and got this big old pot belly and stuff. And just in the way he walked over, I'm like, oh, great. What's going to happen here? Well, I am so thankful, sir, that you're teaching this young man how to pray. I said, oh, really? Well, I guess I'm thankful that you come over and saw that.
Yep, I'm a smart aleck. I looked at him and I said, sir, I noticed that when y'all sat down, y'all started eating. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And he walked back to his other chair, got his stuff, threw it in the trash can, and went on. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, that was smart aleck.
You are not a religious zealot. And not asking God to forgive, ask him thank for his food.
Don't walk over and be some religious zealot. Show it to me. Show it to me. Asked Matthias, I said, what do we do right?
He says, well, we always ask the Lord to thank you for the food.
I said, you better. Because you never know when it's your last meal. You got to be thankful for everything. These children were teachable.
Did you know children will follow you? If you have a dog, now a cat won't do this so much. So Miss Karis, Sister Karis, just hear me out. I can walk through the house and guess who's right behind me? Opie. I can be making a sandwich. I can be making a cup of coffee. Guess where Opie's at? I can grab Sister Jamie and I can hug on her and kiss on her and hold her and Opie's right there.
Cat won't do that. Just saying. Did y'all know that a child's like that?
And when you shoo them off a couple times, they may be shooed off for a while. You need to be careful. Children are teachable.
They need you to teach them. I guarantee you, I've seen some things in my children's life. They're not teaching their kids. You may be the only person that will teach that godly principle. Or that godly heart. You may be the only one in their life that'll do it. Children are teachable. Don't shoo them away. They'll follow you.
And if you tell a child, go on, get out of here. You're bothering me. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Sooner or later, they ain't coming around. Now, I will say this to you. If you're doing right, grandma, grandpa, mom and dad, there will come a time that they won't be around you anymore because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to be around the gospel. They don't want to be around this or that. I was talking to a young man about his grandmother. And you know what he said to me? He says, yeah, grandma, she got on me again, said this, this, and this. I said, it's exactly what you needed to hear.
Stupid fool. We get to a point as adults where we think we don't need God anymore. We get to a point where we start exercising free will.
Now, you do have free will. But there ain't many choices as you think there is. You either do it your way or God's way. You can either see blessings or you'll see a bunch of cursings.
And that's just the truth.
These children are moldable. They're moldable. There was a young man in our martial arts that was really coming along well.
And then he got a little older. And then he let his mom and dad let him have his choice. And I remember telling the mom and dad, I said, he's been doing great. Is this is going on? That's going on. And now you're giving him a choice? Well, why don't you teach him you don't quit when you start something? Well, we're still going to... I said, so you're going to allow him to quit. You're teaching him it's okay to quit. Nonetheless, that parent and that child is no longer around. And if they do come around, it's once in a great while. Why? Children are moldable. They'll not only follow you, but they'll trust you. You teach them how to roll a cigarette, guess what they know how to do for the rest of their life? But you teach them how to study the Bible and read the Bible, guess what they know how to do the rest of their life? Which one are you going to teach them? Which one are you going to teach them, friends? Do they see you open your Bible? Do they see you studying? Do they see you praying?
Children are moldable. These children had an absolute need of the truth from the Lord Jesus. Do you understand? The very ones they were trying to keep away, they had a need of the truth. Of course, there's a lot of people that don't think this Bible's truth. And there's a lot of people on golf courses today, bowling alleys, out fishing, out at the lake, out here, out there. And God's not important to them. I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. Seriously, if you're doing something else, God's not important to you. Not when we ought to be in the house of God. You say, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. Well, it's 4 minutes to 12. Some are thinking, when's he going to shut up so I can go eat dinner? I hope not. When's this going to happen? When's that gonna, I got now, I have been under some very boring preachers, and I've looked at the clock and, oh, when are they going to be done? I've been under some very ugly preachers. I'm just kidding. Oh, when are they going to be done? Don't you even say it, brother. He already said it? Lord, be merciful to him, please. Hey, beloved, these children need the truth. Yes, they need to know how to, they need to know how to wash their clothes and fold their clothes, dry their clothes. They need to know how to make new dishes. And not your way. Let them figure it out. Yes, they need to know this. They need to know how to walk to school uphill both ways. Amen. Now, from my mom and dad's house to my junior high, it was down the hill and back up the hill. So you walked up, went down, and then back up. And when you look at the landscape of how it is, and Mayo Middle School was 5 miles away, which I walked home in a whiteout one time. So I know all about this walking uphill both ways in the snow. Yeah, you probably had to tunnel up there. You need one of them big old dogs to come along with that medicine pouch. Amen. Cow pastures. People, listen, beloved, they need the truth. Children need the truth. They need to know how to survive in life. But if you don't give them the Lord Jesus Christ, they won't. The child will generally do anything for you. Have you ever noticed that about kids? They trust, and as they get older, things change. And listen, you keep them under the preaching of the Word. I know, I am a result of a mom and dad that kept us under the preaching of the Word of God. And then to watch God work and bring certain individuals. Listen, it ain't by chance that Jamie's my wife. God had raised and perfectly made her to keep David straight. I don't know what I'd do without her. Don't know what I'm going to do with her. I'm just kidding. I'm going to hug her a bunch. I can tell you, she'll let me. Beloved, a child will do anything for you. You realize that? When I've been down with my back or hurting, hey, Matthias, can you, hey, Tommy, can you, absolutely, man, jump right up. Sit over there. There was a couple days where Jamie had to go into work, and I'd tell Tommy, I'd say, Tommy, all right, read. I'm over in Luke 15. Would you read chapter Luke 15 for me? He sat over there and read it. That's what you got to do, beloved. Because they're not going to do it on their own. They have the same sin nature, lazy nature that every one of us has got. Well, let me give you a couple more things and I'm done. Make sure to give children the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. I tell you, to me, over the years in the juvies, it's a shame that a child has to go to a juvenile facility to hear for the first time that Jesus Christ died and arose again. I remember young people from Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Tampa, Orlando, and some of those places that we were at. Little boy one time said, who is this Jesus guy you keep talking about?
Never heard of him. I said, wait a minute. You're serious?
No. I don't know who he is. Does he live on my street?
And then you get the chance over the next 3 and 4 weeks to tell him about the Lord Jesus and give him some assignments and then watch him. These kids, they look, you got to make sure you give them the truth. If you don't give them the truth of the Word of God, you don't give them the truth of the Lord Jesus, it were better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be thrown off into the sea.
Be sure to tell the children that Jesus saves. The Lord Jesus Christ will save your soul before it's too late. Before it's too late. For sure, the Lord Jesus is needed every day for the rest of their lives. For sure. So as a surety, the Lord Jesus Christ is needed every day of your life. So I'll finish with this. In 1975, at 5 years old, I was told that Jesus saves and that I needed to be saved. In 2026, the message is still the same. People need to be saved by the Lord Jesus. What are you doing to keep them away? What are you doing to draw them in? What are we doing? All I know is you can tell a child that Jesus saves. I understand the age of accountability. I understand that. But you start telling them that Jesus died and arose again. I don't care if they're out of the womb or in the womb. I don't care if they're 1 year old or they're 10 years old. You tell them that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Read that Bible to that womb. Read that Bible to that infant in mama's arms. Read that Bible and read it Bible some more. I sure am glad that there were a bunch of folk at Parish Bible Church that thought there was a need to come and take us to church. Little children need the Lord Jesus, y'all. Father, I love you. And I thank you in Jesus' name for the truth. And I pray this morning we would see our need to tell all these little children that Jesus saves. Thank you for the truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in your plan, you brought the gospel to our door. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. Might do you some good to praise him and glorify him for bringing the gospel to your ears. I don't know what you're going through right now, but you've been blessed. This morning you got to hear the truth. Anytime we can hear the truth, that's a blessing. Now, blessings to hug and love on each other, and no doubt about that, but to hear the truth that Jesus saves. This old-fashioned altar time, if God's working in your heart, would you come on? You need to come to him as a child. Put away all your foolishness and philosophy. Put it all away. Come to the Savior and ask him for help. Ask him for truth. Ask him for wisdom. But that means you're going to have to put away what you think you know. God's in with your heart. Would you come on? No one comes in a moment. We'll end the invitation. But if God's dealing with your heart, would you come on?
Father, we love you and we thank you so much for how good you've been to us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the gospel to our ears again this morning, the truth again to us. And I pray, Lord, we would appreciate it and be so thankful for the truth. Not a bunch of lies and not a bunch of silliness, not a bunch of opinion or philosophy, man's a philosophy, but your word, your way. Thank you for that. I pray, King Jesus, you'd be glorified. Help us, Lord Jesus, to bring the kids to you. Help us that we would come to you as a child. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.